I would like to now call upon Balkishore Bhai, who would take us through. You've met him before, but a brief introduction about Balkishore Bhai. There are many things, but just to mention a few things. Balkishore Bhai has done his M.Tech and he's also done his management course in Manchester, UK, Manchester University, UK. He's also associated with Brahma Kumaris. He's a spiritual student since more than 30 years. And he's also a digital wellness expert. Some of you must have heard his talks also. He's developed a digital wellness course for engineering students, which has been adopted by the Anna University. And he's working as a Better Living, Vice President Better Living at Sears Technologies. He's an expert in that too. And he's also done his... he's also a certified leadership coach. So I have to refer to the notes because the list is a lot. And so over to Balkishore Bhai, and he's going to talk about soul conscious leadership. Over to Balkishore Bhai.
Om Shanti. Everybody hear me? Very good. And are you continuing your easy busyness? Yes? Very good. So we'll start. Well, this has been afternoon of exercises, so we'll continue with one more exercise. And this is about breathing. Most of us do shallow breathing from the chest. Okay? Have you seen any 2-year-old or 3-year-old sleep? And then how their stomach goes rhythmically up and down? What we call as belly breathing? There's a very simple verse in Hatha Yoga Pradipika, which says, Chale Vate Chalam Chittam. Vata means the prana, or the breathing, we can say. Chalam Chittam means mind. Chittam means mind. Nischale Nischalam Bhavet. That means your mind and breath, both are related to each other. If you want to stabilize one, you need to stabilize the other. So the best way to stabilize your mind is to stabilize your breath. And breathing, thinking, aging, all the three are very closely related with each other. What are the three? Breathing, thinking, aging. Have you seen in your family those who think a lot and get stressed, their hair turns gray a lot early and then they start looking old? More than their age, more than their chronological age. Have you observed that? Because the faster you breathe, the faster your metabolic clock runs and the faster you age. That is why it's called as pranayama. There are two definitions. Ayama, one is to control. Ayama means to change your perspective. And the prana is through your breath, the life force that we just talked about in the previous session. So shall we practice that? Just observe and then try. Initially, if you are not able to do it, it's okay, because it needs a little bit of practice. You need to sit straight first. Have your back well supported. Don't fold your arms. Don't fold your legs. Don't fold them. Keep them like this on your thighs. And when you're breathing in, your stomach muscles should expand. Okay, if you want, you can just put your hand lightly on your stomach and then check. Not like that. Okay? Like this. Hold. And then you breathe out, your stomach muscles go inside. Possible? Yeah? We'll do it slowly. Okay? So, slowly breathe in. And as you breathe in, observe the muscles of your stomach expand. Once your stomach is full, hold for a second. And then breathe out. As you breathe out, the stomach muscles go inside. Let's repeat once more. Breathe in. Hold. And breathe out. Once more. Breathe in. Hold. Breathe out. Relax. This is one simple exercise you can take from here. Before you start every meeting, is it possible for you to join the meeting 90 seconds before? Just 90 seconds. Is it possible? And can you practice this? And do you see how you feel relaxed when you start focusing on your belly and then how the breathing is happening? Were you thinking about your dinner? Not yet. Were you thinking about anything else, or you were able to bring your focus and feel relaxed? How many of you felt that? Yeah, it's very easy. So I would suggest that incorporate this simple deep breathing exercise and relaxation into your life, where you will do at least 5 to 6 times a day. Possible? 5 to 6 meetings a day? And just 90 seconds? At the beginning of the meeting, you start with 90 seconds of relaxation, deep breathing. At the end of the meeting, you will also do 90 seconds if you can, if you don't have back-to-back meetings, which I discourage. So that you do deep breathing and reflect on the action items of what you are supposed to be doing in the after the meeting. Because many a times we attend the meeting and we forget, what am I supposed to do now? So it's a good exercise to do this deep breathing at the end of the meeting and reflect on the action items. So 90 seconds in the beginning to relax, 90 seconds after the meeting to reflect. Easy? And this is what we discussed yesterday. Relax and reflect. And now you are able to integrate it very easily with our day-to-day work. How many of you want to do that? Very good. Please remember, and even here you can start practicing it. So how many of you have attended the first lesson today morning? Other than those of you who arrived a little late? All of you. And what was taught in the first lesson? So who am I? Who am I? Louder. Powerful soul. Peaceful soul. Happy soul. Fantastic. And? Pure soul. Very good. And? Loving soul. Beautiful. And? Knowledgeable soul. Fantastic. Blissful soul. Very beautiful. Not just in Mount Abu, even at home. Okay, so what we are going to do is, how is this knowledge, this simple principle of Aham Atma Mama Shariram, I am soul, this is my body. How can we apply this simple principle to build a beautiful leadership framework is what we will discuss in the next few minutes. As leaders, what do we want? What do we want as leaders? Outcome, very good. And for that outcome, what are some of the key characteristics? Yes, you want your people motivated, happy, yes, and aligned, very good, very good. Aligned and engaged, very good. And yes, and for all these, you need to set an example as a leader. you should be able to do all this. So today we will explore how this aspect of soul consciousness, how me understanding that I am a soul, not this body, what impact it has on even our professional life. Ready for that? And this is what we call as applied spirituality. How do I apply that? Yes, Bala, wonderful. You ask us to go to the Brahma Kumaris Meditation Center. I go there, I do the meditation, I go back to office. How do I apply? It's again the same old me. So how do I integrate this knowledge into my day-to-day life? So the first, we are going to talk about a very simple framework. The first aspect is, who do I think I am? Smriti comes from the Sanskrit word smara, means that which repeats. What is it that I am telling myself about myself? Who I think I am? And that is what that awareness determines how I look at things. The who determines the how. In a minute I'll give you an example. And the how determines what I see. How I see determines what I see. Yes or no? And what I see determines how I act. What are my actions? Kriti. And that kriti creates the srishti around me. And my srishti once again influences my smriti. A lot of problems in today's world, including the climate change aspects that we discussed, they focus only on kriti and trying to change the srishti. Very incomplete. That's why we don't get the results. But fundamentally, what you need to change is the smriti, the awareness. Let's explore this in a little more. Is this understood? We'll come back to this. But this forms the foundation. My smriti determines my vritti. Vritti comes from the word vritta, means circle. Okay, vritti, what kind of vibrations get generated? And drishti, kriti and srishti. So what is this awareness? It is who you believe you are. When you step into office, what's your awareness? Is there a change or no? Because you start getting into a role. When you step into your home, when you move with your friends, and when you step out to represent your office or country, is there a change in your awareness or not? Who you think you are? Okay? That is what we are talking about, this smriti. Now let's explore a little more. I'll share the deck. Yeah. The reason why we are talking about this awareness is, it's often unconscious and also very, very subtle. Most of the times we are not even aware of our own awareness. Let me give you an example. Science says our ancestors were like this. And this is what they used to do. But the religion says our ancestors were like this. That's a question of belief, what you believe. I'm not talking about what is right or what is wrong here. I am fundamentally an ape with basal instincts and my nature is to fight and win. Because that is when I will be able to survive. So if your awareness is that I am an ape, I am an animal, aren't these the kind of thoughts that we get? And with that awareness, what do I say? In order to get along with others, I must suppress those basal emotions. I am like this only, Bala. You blame my ancestors. Don't ask me to calm down. Ye Brahma Kumaris, ye Shanti, ye kya hai? Anger is natural. Don't suppress it. Keep expressing it. Keep shouting it. Because my awareness is, this is where I come from. Instead, if my awareness is, I am fundamentally divine and my nature is peace, love and joy. If this is what I believe, this is what gets into my awareness, then I must emerge and express these latent qualities through introspection and meditation. I'm not talking about what is right, what is wrong. Absolutely not. We will not get into that debate at all. Do you agree with that? Very simple self-evident principle. Awareness impacts action. And belief impacts behavior. And this was the most powerful lesson I learned 30 years ago when I came to Brahma Kumaris. And this is the reason why you have the slogan of Brahma Kumaris, world transformation through self-transformation. When my awareness of who I am changes, when my smriti changes, my vritti changes. When my vritti changes, mind changes. When my drishti changes, my kriti changes. When my kriti changes, srishti automatically changes. Now you see the circle? And why going reverse never works? Why I need to change myself first before I start expecting others around me to change? How my beliefs impact my behaviors and results, and almost all of these are hidden because these are based on my awareness. So here, through the first lesson, as a part of Raja Yoga meditation, we are taught to change that awareness if you want to change the srishti around you, because it all starts with change in smriti. Let's explore this even further. Now the next, we talked about awareness. Now let's talk about this awareness, and now the how attitude determines, how I see things determines what I see. Let me demonstrate that. What do you see? Just tell me, don't overthink. Whatever you're seeing. Bird? Yeah, holding something. And these ones? Okay, birds again. Legs. Okay. And that's, we can say some water. We can say that. Now this is what is visible. Yes or no? Now what do you see? You see a fish. You see a boat. You see a couple of trees. You see some tents. And then now the water which was here, it's gone there. Okay? I haven't changed a single pixel in the picture. Is there a fish here? Is there a bird here? Is there a tree here? Is there a leg here? You will say yes and no, because it depends on how you look at things. Now this is the next most important principle that you learn from Brahma Kumaris. When I change the way I look at things I look at change. Please make a note. Right? When I change the way I look at things, reality hasn't changed. I haven't changed a single pixel of the reality, of the picture. When I change the way I look at the things I look at change. Suddenly a fish appears, a boat appears, couple of trees appear. When I change it, now that becomes a bird. Those becomes legs. That becomes an island. When I change the way I look at the things I look at change. And for all of you leaders, this is an extremely important principle. How do you see your team members as? These are the fellows who are coming to make my life hell, and I will show them what I can do. If this is your vritti, then what will happen to your drishti and what will happen to your kriti? And if you start looking at them, the vritti, the attitude, how you look at them, yes, these are the people, well-meaning ones, they are interested in learning, growing, so that together I can help them become a better version of themselves as a leader, and together we can create something more beautiful. If this is your vritti, then what will you see in them? And those of you who are interested, this is the essence of in management what we call as Pygmalion effect in management. Pygmalion. When you go back, you will have a lot of homework to do. One of those is to study about this. What Pygmalion effect says is the belief of the manager in the team member's capability impacts the team member's performance. Everything else remaining equal. Just the belief. If I think my team members are good, then I will start looking for what is good in them. If I think my team members are bad, then I will only look at what are the bad things in them. Now come back. If I start becoming aware that I am a soul, then what will I start looking inside of me? All the qualities that you just mentioned in the beginning. Peace, love, bliss, happiness, joy, knowledge. When I change the way I look at myself, the things I look at myself, inside myself, they change. The reality remains as is. But how I respond to the world completely transforms. Interesting? Now, so when I start with this awareness that I am a soul, what happens? What are the key characteristics of this soul consciousness? Dehi Abhimani Sthiti. Two things. Deh Abhiman. Deh means I am thinking myself as a body, that is body consciousness. And Dehi Abhimani, that is becoming soul conscious. So what are the key characteristics of soul consciousness? How this Smriti, my awareness, impacts my sthiti, my state of mind. My smriti impacts my sthiti. And my sthiti creates my swaroop, of which what I become an embodiment of. Whatever I keep experiencing, whatever that mental state I go through, that is what will become my swaroop. And swaroop say samarth. When I have the smriti, when I have the awareness that I am peaceful, I get the samarthi, the power of being peaceful. When I forget vismriti, that I am not peaceful, when I forgot that, then it becomes difficult to remain peaceful. Smriti say sthiti, sthiti say swaroop, swaroop say samarthi. So if I want to become powerful, where should I start? With my smriti. That's the fundamental change. Who I think I am makes a huge difference to the way you are dealing with the world. So when we talk about soul consciousness in Brahma Kumaris, what do we mean by that? When we say applied spirituality, okay Bala, what difference does it make? I'm a soul, I'm not a body. So what? Our favorite phrase, so what? So now we will explore that so what. So when I start experiencing myself as a soul, when I bring in that awareness, the first thing I start experiencing is I am unique. And the second is I am equal. I am not same. There are two different things. Third, I am valuable. Because I am an embodiment of all those virtues. I am master. I am not a victim. I am creator, not the created. I am the creator. And each one of these we will explore in a lot more detail. I am capable and powerful. Change in smriti. I am eternal. And I am connected. And I am light. Very simple. If I say you are unique, will you stand up and say, absolutely nonsense Bala, I am a copycat? Will anyone say that? Will anyone say that? If I say you are a master, will you stand up and say, you haven't seen me at all, I am a slave. I was a slave, I am a slave, I will always be a slave. Will you say that? So if you go through each one of these, if I say you are valuable, Will you say, I am absolutely useless? I am good for nothing, idiot, fit for nothing. Will you say that? Because deep inside, if you tell this to yourself, will you start agreeing with them or you start rejecting them? You start identifying, you start agreeing with them. You may not have anything external to show, but deep inside, these things resonate with you. Yes or no? Each one of them. These are self-evident. That is why I don't need to tell you what hunger is. You have already experienced it. I don't need to tell you you are unique. You are unique. These are self-evident. And when I start having these things in my awareness, when I work, when I act, when I come into contact with others, when I think, that is practice of soul consciousness. Yes, we will explore that. I'll share that. We'll go there. Okay? Let's start with a simple exercise. What I want you to do is take a fresh page and draw a line. Divide your age into 7 parts. Whatever your chronological age is, into 7 periods. And in each period, whatever positive experiences you have had, draw a line. And depending on the intensity of that experience, extend it away from this line. For example, at the age of 13, example is this fellow became a captain of football team. So that's a positive experience. Then at the age of 22, he had first serious relationship. So that was a little more than becoming a captain. Then he got job promotion at the age of 27. And serious accident here and then made redundant, mother expires. Are you able to understand what to draw? Divide your age into 7 periods. In each period, whatever your positive experiences are, draw that line towards the right side. Negative experiences are not so positive ones to the left side. And the intensity of the experience determines how far from this line you will draw that. Clear? Go ahead. Do that. Even if you miss one or two of them, don't worry. Just create your lifeline. So, you understood what you are supposed to be doing, so please do that. Let's not interpret this one. This is just an example. Because for some, marriage can come on the left side. So, I'm not going to debate that. So, according to you, whatever your experience is, please write that. Done? At least for 5 stages? Without interpreting, just look at the picture of the person beside you and compare your picture. Just compare the pictures. You don't have to read anything. Just compare the picture. Is it different or same, including your spouse's picture, if you have come with your spouse, and if you're sitting together? So you can compare. Is it same or different? Each one's lifeline. Completely different. Because each one of us is unique. And if you go through that, the number of positive experiences would have far exceeded the number of negative ones for most of us. Yes or no? But because negative is strong, whenever we think about it, they are the ones which come to our mind, we think, my life is not so great. But each one of our life is great. Okay? So this principle of I am unique is what we will explore in a little more detail. You know, how does this awareness that I am the soul make me more powerful? First, is that the definition of uniqueness? Can I say that? There is no one else like me. Makes you feel good? No one else in the universe like you. Think about it. Among 8 billion people, you are you. You are alone. There is nobody else like you. Next. Again? Yes or no? I cannot become you. You cannot become me. That's the meaning of uniqueness. That means if I am unique, it means you are also unique. Very simple. If I can't become you and you can't become me, if I am unique and you are unique, then is there any meaning in me trying to become like you? So if I get this awareness that I am unique, then I will stop being someone else and I start accepting myself as I am. That is the first big change of the shift in awareness. When I change the way I look at things I look at change. Because I can never become you, can I? Whoever that is, I can never become like that person. It can even be my parent, or my son, or my colleague, or my peer. Self-compassion and self-acceptance, they start coming naturally. Because I can never become you, you can never become me. I don't have to whack myself because I'm not doing the way you are doing. Because I will do the way I have to do because I'm unique. And all types of comparisons disappear because comparison at that level of soul consciousness becomes meaningless. Interesting? Positive self-esteem increases. I will start looking at what is it that I can do to become a better version of myself, because that's all I can focus on and control. And self-criticism decreases. If you check, each one of you, how critical you are with yourself because you are not able to progress compared with that other fellow, you will start realizing how this comparison is so deeply ingrained. And that's the first thing. When I start bringing this awareness that I am unique, that gets completely removed. Yes, it needs to be practiced. It needs to be brought into my vritti and also drishti and kriti. And this is what helps me develop non-judgmental awareness. I will stop judging the other person. Ye aisa kyun karta hai? Here, very good question. This is where we talk about two things of Advaita and Dvaita. Advaita means oneness. All the souls come from the same Supreme Soul. Okay? We are all coming from the same source. No. And in Brahma Kumaris, we talk about soul having its uniqueness and sanskars separate from God. So all of our existence, we are unique. We don't come and then merge into the God. We don't. The God is separate. Each soul is separate. Each soul is unique, independent individual which goes through its own cycle of birth and death and experiences. That's important. That's what we call as Dvaita. Again, nothing about right or wrong. It's about how you view things. What do you believe in? What your awareness is? So at Brahma Kumaris, this is what made a lot more sense to me personally. Because before coming here for more than 10 years, you know, from the age of 10 or 11, read Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata, Ramayana, and Bhagavat, and started thinking about these things. I'm telling about my story. But when I learnt about the Advaita, somewhere there was that resistance. How can I go and merge in him? I still want to remain as I am. Because I don't want to lose my identity. Right? I want to be myself, but a better version. So that's where this concept of soul consciousness, as we learn here as a part of Raja Yoga, comes in. Okay? Now your impact on relationships. Your unique means your tastes, your reactions, your abilities, they are different from mine, and that is okay. I like white, you like black. You like orange, I like mango. and that's absolutely okay. Because you're unique, and I'm unique. You're different, I'm different. And that's not a bug, it's a feature. Because that's how things are. Mutual respect increases, and I listen to you. I may disagree with you, but I will still respect you. That's the difference between acceptance and agreement. Quite a few times we completely misunderstand these two. Accepting your opinion means I am respecting your opinion. I can still withhold my agreement. Accepting your opinion means I am respecting your opinion. I can still withhold my agreement. Take an example in your own life. When somebody listens to your side of the story and then gently says that I don't completely agree, will you feel comfortable with their disagreement or completely uncomfortable? Most of the times. After they have completely listened to you. Because as human beings, what we look for is that respect. We don't look for agreement. Ask yourself. What we look for is, did you respect my opinion? So when I start with this awareness that I am unique, that mutual respect automatically increases. That's the definition. Love at heart is respect plus safety. If you don't have any of these components, that is not love. It's not running around trees, hugging and kissing. No. Safety is, in your presence, I feel safe because you accept me as I am without you trying to impose your opinions on me. Because you respect where I come from, my point of view, I feel safe in your presence because you listen to me. When someone listens to you, they create a safe space. That's why when someone listens to you, you feel so good, you feel relaxed. When someone is listening, assuming that's not the first time your boss is doing, you won't become anxious, yes or no? But if your boss is doing for the first time, you have been working for 5 years and that's the first time he is listening to you, inviting you, you know, switching off the laptop, looking straight into your eyes and then say, speak. Aaj kya hua yaar, kuch hone wala hai. Other than that time, if anyone else is listening to you, you feel safe and relaxed. Because listening creates a safe space. And when will I be able to listen? When I start acknowledging your uniqueness and I start respecting you for who you are. Now let's explore this even more. Because you are unique, I respect you for who you are. And I allow you to be yourself. And that's what is empathy. I don't impose. Again, agreement is different. But I'm allowing you to be yourself. And I don't need permission to be myself because I am unique too. All of these with just that one simple principle of I am unique, which is self-evident. Let's explore even further. Most of the interpersonal conflicts disappear because you need not like what I like and I need not like what you like, and that is okay. Interesting thing about conflict resolution, as a coach, when you know people bring in their conflicts, I want you to reflect on this. Conflict is never about the other person. It's always about me. You know how? I have a conflict with you because you are coming late to office. You are happy coming late to office. It is me who is having a problem with you coming late to office. So I am creating the conflict. You are not. You will never wash dishes at home. You will throw your clothes wherever you want. You are happy doing what you are doing. I have a conflict with you because I don't like it. So who is creating the conflict? They are happy doing what they are doing. It is I who have a problem with that other fellow. And that is where the conflict comes. So most of the interpersonal conflicts are self-generated. Again, I'm not talking about yes or no. This change in perspective starts making you more powerful. Because now that you know you are creating the conflict, you will feel more powerful to resolve the conflict too, instead of feeling... See the difference? Taking control of things, when I know it is because of my own misunderstanding, the conflict is getting generated, I can start taking control. It increases mutual acceptance, as we have been discussing, which is different from agreement. I am IIT, IIM, IIS. Tu painter banna chahta hai. Main apni muh kaise dikhaun? Kam se kam engineering to kar. Kam se kam private engineering college mein kar. If not in IIT. When I imbibe this principle, I am unique, then my son is also unique. I need not create them in my image. I allow them to blossom and tell their own story. Has to go a little slow because translation is happening. So my son need not be as famous or best as I am. He or she has their own story to tell. My children are not my children. They come through me, not from me. My children are not my children. They come through me, not from me. That's from Khalil Gibran's prophet. Very powerful. Because now I start accepting you as who you are and allow you to blossom. Let's explore a little more. How does this impact my workplace? If I'm a manager, if I'm a team member, if I'm a leader, how this acceptance or this awareness that I'm unique impacts my work? Every team member is respected as they are. This fellow, every time I give some suggestion, he always comes up with something opposite and he will never agree with me. That's why I dislike this fellow. Now I will no longer get upset. Because that's just yet another opinion. I respect because that is his uniqueness of trying to poke holes and come up with something why what I am saying doesn't work, which is fine. And I can still withhold my agreement. I need not agree, but at least that clash, that kinchatan as we call, that disappears. Whether I agree with what the person is saying or not, I will stop getting upset. Isn't that a big thing? And where is it coming from? By acknowledging that this person is unique. That's it. Nothing else is needed. And that's what increases. Yes, very good question. I am not saying to agree with all their incorrect behavior. I am only saying you will stop getting upset when they do it and then start thinking from solution-centric perspective, not a problem-centric perspective. Ye aisa kyun karta hai? Aisa hi karega. Then you will start thinking, agar ye aisa karta hai, if this fellow does like this, what should I do? I will stop wasting my energy in changing them. See the difference? Sorry? Okay? And that is what increases psychological safety because I allow people to speak. Does not mean in a meeting, I will not stop a Maikasur from taking the mic. You know who is a Maikasur? Who grabs the mic and continues to speak without allowing others. Mic plus asur is Maikasur. All of us have experienced that. It does not mean I will keep quiet. This fellow is unique. That is okay. He will sleep in the meetings. He is unique. Bala said that. It is okay. This is soul consciousness. I never said that. I am only saying when you see that, don't get upset. Next step, whatever decision you have to make, please make that. Okay, so try to take it from the positive perspective. And that takes the quality of conversations a notch higher, because you are allowing people to speak. You are allowing people to share. No idea is brushed aside, and that creates more opportunities for better ideas. Otherwise, we get into groupthink. And one of the most important reasons for groupthink is, I will naturally align with someone who thinks like me. And I become very uncomfortable when the other person thinks something else. But when I imbibe this awareness that I am unique and this person is unique, their ideas are unique and their ideas can be different. See the difference it makes? I need not agree with them. Again and again I am repeating. I can still disagree, but I will disagree with respect. Spend a couple of minutes. Now that you have learnt this one particular aspect that I am unique, how are you going to apply this principle? You can choose any one aspect, personal life, professional life, your relationship, even with your own self. If you are struggling with comparisons, with jealousy, start thinking how this one principle can liberate you. Because that is what knowledge is supposed to do, right? It liberates you from ignorance and darkness. Think about it. Empathy is different from? Yeah, when I am empathic to you, I create a safe space for you. Because I am able to relate to you. Right? And when I start relating to what you are going through, I will stop imposing my views on you. A place becomes unsafe, at relational context, when the other person imposes his or her views on me. When that stops, I can be myself. And that creates safety. I can just sit back, close your eyes, and think about just one aspect. Just this principle, one principle where you can apply in one aspect of your life, not many. So are you able to think of one area where you can start applying this? Easiest is in relationships. Yes or no? Yes? Now let's move on to the next one. I'm equal. There's a big difference between being same and being equal. All of us are different. That's what is uniqueness. But we are all equal, because nobody is more and nobody is less. You might be better in one quality. I might be better in some other quality. So that does not make you greater, and that does not make me lesser. Because as souls, we have unique sanskars, but we are all. This is a natural extension of I am unique. And this is what has huge impact on mental health. Almost all of mental health is because I reject myself the way I am. A lot of mental health issues. Absolutely. Where is your focus? I can become a better version of myself by imbibing those qualities. If this is your perspective, agar ye aapki vritti hai, attitude hai, no, you are growing because you want to become a better version. You want to learn. Instead, there is a better way. You can never become like this. Kya? Bhagwan ne kya bana diya inko? So every time you see them, you are berating yourself. That is comparison. But when you are looking towards them with a desire to learn and grow, you are not comparing, you are imbibing. They have, I don't have. And you stop there. That's comparison. See the difference? So when I start appreciating and I also try to become like them, am I improving? Or am I not? That is again subtle comparison. Every time you bring in somebody else into your consciousness, that puts pressure. But when your focus is on yourself, that will never create any pressure. And that's a good signal. Thanks for bringing it up. Whenever there is a pressure, it means subtly I am comparing. If I am enjoying my journey, then there is no comparison. As a human being, I deserve same kind of respect like anyone else. It eliminates all artificial disparities created based on body consciousness, color, religion, gender, nationality, n number of things that we divide ourselves on. Next, write about yourself, all the positive qualities you have. I'm telling you, you have. Start writing. Start each one of your sentences with I am, I have, not just some adjectives. I am, I have, I can. Add that. Don't think everyone does this, there is nothing special about me, so why should I write it? No. You just learnt, you are unique. If you are doing it, write it. The others may or may not be doing it. Don't worry about it. Did each one of you write at least 5 qualities? Yes? So now you can get up, choose someone whom you don't know and share with them what positive qualities you have. Just positive qualities, you don't have to hesitate because each one of us is unique. We just learned, let's apply that. So speak with someone whom you don't know. Share. Yeah, you can move around. If you want, you can get up, move around. Share with someone whom you don't know. And listen to their positive qualities. Yeah, please get up, it's okay. Move around. Introduce yourself. Yeah, you can please come back to your positions. Please come back to your positions. How did it feel? Did any one of you feel embarrassed? No, right? That's why it's called positive. You see, when you share your qualities with them and they share their positive qualities, you see the kind of environment that comes in and the kind of joy that comes out. Even when they are talking about their positive qualities, you don't feel sad, bad, mad. You feel good. And you are also sharing your own positive qualities. That's why it's called positive, because it adds something to our life. It adds something to our life. Good. The next one, I am the master. Go ahead. What are the qualities of a master? Sorry? You get the task done. The first thing that comes as a master is task. Okay, very good. I get it. Next. Goal oriented. Sare leaders hai, main bhool gaya. Acha aur. Sorry? Visionary. Knowledge about the subject. Excellent. That's when you call as a master. Solution oriented. Fantastic. Taking the ownership. You can? Guide. Very good. Responsibility. Good listener, acceptance, accountability, determination, teamwork. What are the other qualities of a master? Yes, sister. Kind, very good. And determination, yes. Confidence. Maturity, yes. People oriented, yes. One second. Ownership. Foresight. Very good. So let's see some of the qualities. All these are, right? Capable, confident, independent, fearless, hope, positivity and motivation. Does it cover the qualities of a master? Yes? Sorry? Absolutely. That's why you call yourself a master. Now the opposite qualities. So whenever I am experiencing any of these, it means I am not in the consciousness of a master. Can I say that? Because when I am in the awareness, when I am in that smriti, that I am the master, we just shared so many qualities of a master, it means those qualities are the ones that will emerge in me automatically. Because I am in that consciousness. When I forget vismriti, that's what creates asamarthi. When I forget that, awareness. Now let's explore even this further. No. That is not, that's a part of your role. That's a part of you working on the team. Dependency is, I cannot cook my breakfast. My wife always has to give me. I am completely dependent on her for my survival. Yeah, organizational perspective, that is not dependency. That's not. As a master, I create my own experience. I choose to be happy. And you might want to write this and reflect. No one on the face of this earth, no one on the face of this earth can make me feel sad, bad, mad without my permission. No one on the face of this earth can make me feel sad, bad or mad without my permission. When any of my team members, I managed big teams in the past, I would tell my team members, you are absolutely free to come and then say, Bala, you are an idiot. The only thing I will ask is, show me the data. Otherwise, it's your opinion and you are entitled to have your opinion and I am entitled to disagree with it. No hard feelings. When you say I am an idiot, unconsciously I am agreeing with it. That is why whatever you said is able to generate that pain in me. Because I forgot that I am a master and I can make a decision to reject your opinion of me. That's the consciousness of a master. I take control of my own emotions, my own feelings, my own thoughts, my own decisions. And I am so selfish that you can never make me unhappy or peaceless. Sorry. I didn't understand. Can you please, like a, behaving like an idiot. Okay. No. That means fundamentally that awareness that you are having is incorrect about yourself. Here we are assuming that you don't have all those issues, you are capable enough, you are a leader, and now you want to become better from good. All this knowledge is meant to help you become better from good. But if you are, that is not there fundamentally, and as you said, you are an idiot, then the logic that you apply is something else. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Then I take the ownership of that. When somebody points out, I will evaluate. I will use my decision-making power as a master. I won't feel sad, bad, mad again. You said something to me, as a master, I will sit and evaluate. And if you give me the data, as I mentioned, then I will sit and evaluate. And then I will decide, yes, indeed, this is not what I should have been doing. Because that is the true quality of a master. Because if I am a slave of my own ego, then I will never agree with you, in spite of you giving me the data. Because I become a slave of my own sanskars. I am not willing to change. As a master, I respond, not react. I don't blame others or situations. I am assertive, not aggressive. Accepting and acknowledging my capabilities and having faith in myself. Today, I haven't cleared my Google certification, but I am working towards it. I will clear it. So I have that faith so that I can invest that energy and time. And action driven by faith in the self moves me into position of strength. A lot of our actions, this is something I would encourage you to write and reflect. When I perform from a position of weakness, I'll never get the result that I want. Position of weakness is when I feel helpless, when I blame somebody, when I am scared, when I am afraid. What will happen to me? When that drives, I am already in a position of weakness. But when I move into a position of strength, start with this awareness that I am the master. See the difference it makes. Because I am willing to pay the price. That's the key part. That's where comparison comes. So when I am the master, I acknowledge, I accept. And when I club that with uniqueness, nothing to feel bad about. You are a first ranker, I am a second ranker. Last time I got 80 marks, this time I got 85. Good. I am improving. I will continue to improve. I am happy for you because you got 95. Good for you. I acknowledge without feeling intimidated because I am operating from a position of strength. When I move into position of strength, when my consciousness is that I am a master, this is what happens inside your brain. This is the prefrontal cortex, this part, the thinking brain, what we call. Okay? When I operate from this position of strength, that I am a master, I am relaxed or I am anxious? Relaxed. When you are relaxed, your thinking brain operates at its best. And the emotional center of your brain, the amygdala, is controlled. It is under the control of thinking brain. But when I operate from a position of weakness, when I think that I am not the master, this is what happens to your brain. Practically, my ability, my decision-making ability goes out of the window. There is very little blood circulation, practically. Okay, physically also, the blood circulation to my thinking brain reduces. And amygdala becomes overactive, the emotional center of the brain. That's why it is said, when you are happy, don't promise. When you are angry, don't respond. When you are sad, don't decide. Because practically the neural real estate that is required for me to make a proper decision is absent. So when you start moving from this position of weakness to position of strength, that can be achieved by just changing your smriti in that state. By changing my smriti does not mean I will become successful or suddenly I will get more marks. No, that's not my point. But I am able to face the situation without feeling sad, bad, mad. So if you are not a master, you can never operate at full potential. That doubt will continue to eat you from inside. Take a simple example. I am preparing for this session. I can prepare like a master or I can prepare like not a master. I won't use the other name. It doesn't sound good. Okay? If I am preparing like a master, I will focus on what I have to deliver. Aap sunenge ya soenge? Can I control? Will you listen or will you sleep? Will you participate or not participate? Can I control? But if I am not a master, I am always worried about what you are going to do, and that's unnecessarily going to stress me, and that will reduce the full energy that I can put in what I am doing, that is preparing for the session. So when I approach as a master, I will focus on my task, karmanyeva adhikaraste, because my capability, my control is only on my task, not on the result. When will that come? With this consciousness, with this smriti that I am the master. पत्ते पत्ते को पानी देने जाओगे तो पेड़ सूख जाएगी. इफ यू ट्राई टू वाटर एवरी सिंगल लीफ द होल ट्री विल ड्राई अप. बिकॉज इफ यू वॉन्ट टू ग्रो द ट्री, वेयर विल यू वाटर, वेयर विल यू पुट द वाटर? टू द रूट, टू द रूट, नॉट टू द एक्सपेंशन, नॉट टू द लीव्स. Can you impress everybody on earth? You can't, right? The only way you can control is expressing yourself, whether the other person is gets impressed or not. Absolutely no control. And imagine the amount of energy we spend thinking about others, especially when you can't control them. I'll share one experience. As a coach, as a counselor, people keep coming to me. So there's this guy who came to me saying, Bala, I am addicted to these hard drugs for the last few years. I'm trying to get over it. I'm not able to. Then I introduced him to this simple principle that you are the master of your mind. You can control your urge. Drug is not more powerful than you. You have the authority. Because you are the master. He started crying. Because all these years he thought he was a slave for a substance. Nobody told him, you are a master. Nobody. Including the rehab that he used to go in and come out. And can you believe? With just this one change in his awareness that I am the master, I can control my urge, drug is not more powerful than me, he is sober now, even after 2 years. Because now as a master, he says, I can decide to exercise, I can decide to get good experiences by doing something else. I don't have to go to the drug because I am the master. I have the capacity. See the big difference. Just one change in smriti, how much samarthi or the power it brings. That's the power of smriti or awareness. This is one more thing which we would want each one of you to take from here. I am the master of my mind. I can control my thoughts. Mind is monkey, mind is horse, mind is kutta, mind is billy. No. Because when my awareness is mind can't be controlled, I will not even try to control. You see the interesting thing? I give up. But when my awareness is I am the master, it will take a little longer, but I can control my thoughts. I'll start getting motivated to put the effort. If you have followed very, very carefully, when I am getting to an area which I don't know much, I can approach it two ways. I can be open to experiences, including failure, or be scared of failure. When I am approaching with that open-mindedness, not with arrogance, that approach that I am a master and it's okay for me to fail because I don't know everything, that also comes from the consciousness of being a master. If I am scared, then I am not a master. Here, while I am using the word, when I say master, I am not saying I am the best. Even if I get only 20 marks, I am unique, I am best, I will fail. That's what Bala said. That's not what we are talking about. Okay, you got 20 marks. Now what next? So mastery is not about winning. Mastery is not about success. Mastery is about the consciousness with which you are approaching a task. And you are willing to accept the result, whichever way it comes. Because again, as a master, you are accepting, not as a slave, not feeling sad, bad, mad. See the difference? Yeah. Okay? Remember this. You are the painter of your life. Don't give your remote. Sabko baant ke rakha hai. Right? We gave our remote to everybody, you know, including the maid, including the fellow who cuts me on the road. Bhai, aap daba, main nachunga yahan. And many people around us, they have a very strong remote. They keep pressing and we keep dancing. And then we keep complaining. So don't give your remote. Remember, I am the master. Take back the remote. Okay? That's one thing that I learned after coming to Brahmakumaris. I am more powerful than I think I am. You can measure my performance, but never my potential. And when I start from this consciousness that I can grow, then the chances of me actually growing increase. This is very, very powerful. This smriti, this awareness that I am master. And those of you who wanted to start learning meditation, those of you who stopped meditating, gave up, got really frustrated with your own sanskars, this is the smriti that you need to practice many more times. That I can. So what are those things which you hesitated to take up until now, which you can start trying and taking up with this new consciousness? Please sit back and reflect. Just think about it. All those things which you were scared of failure or what others will think about you or all those areas where you tried to impress others. And you are frustrated. Did you get at least one thing that you can try with this consciousness of being a master? One small positive change in your life? Yes? Make a note. Because as long as you have the capability to give another shot, you haven't failed. Like in boxing, you will lose only when you stay down, not when you fall down. There's a big difference between falling down and staying down. If you think you should not fall down at all, you will never be able to fight or even walk. In Hindi, I don't have the English translation, but in Hindi there's a very beautiful song. Hame un rahon par chalna hai, jahan girna aur sambalna hai. Girna hi nahi, to chalna hi band kar denge. Girenge, I'm fine, I will fail. That's okay. But if I always want to succeed, then I will stop trying. Because failure is a part of life. I will accept it as a master. Okay? Good, so ma'am was asking about I am eternal. So I would encourage you, I will not. Is it okay if I take 10 more minutes? And then I will leave you, you can just aram se go out, have, enjoy, and then you come back for the 7 to 7:30 meditation in the plaza or the amphitheater. So you'll get a few minutes. 10 more minutes. Is that okay? Good. I'll share an interesting experience, ma'am, which you asked why this thing about I am eternal. In the popular culture, what we talk about is hai ek hi zindagi aish karo. There's only one life. Enjoy. This is what we are taught. Yes or no? I'll share an experience. Brahmakumaris have another, like IT wing, we also have something called Spiritual Applications Research Center, SPARC. It's there in the Training Center 13, in the opposite building. So, some of the BKs who were practicing meditation, they visited Kidwai Memorial Cancer Hospital in Bangalore. They saw a small room, which was decrepit, that it was not being used at all. They cleaned it up and said, we would want to just come sit here and meditate. So every day, they would go and meditate for an hour. And because this is cancer hospital, the caretakers, they were there for much longer period. Maybe 1 year, maybe 2 years, taking care of their loved ones. So including the caretakers and the patients, when they started coming to this meditation room and started practicing meditation, just sitting there, not even practicing, they started feeling better. They started asking, what do you do? Why are we feeling better? We want to know. Then they were introduced to this knowledge that I am a soul and the soul is eternal. Just this first lesson, that I am a soul, this cancer is for your body, not for the soul. When you die, this body is shredded, but you will remain because you will get into the next birth. You should see the transformation in those cancer patients who were fed with this conditioning that this is the end. Now this is just a comma, it's not a full stop. And that started a huge impact of their medication, because now there is hope. They are no longer hopeless, and hope is very powerful, because now I will live. This is not my end. There is a tomorrow in a different body with a different set of loved ones. That made a huge difference. Another example I will give you. If you search on Ian Stevenson, he did pioneering research in the field of reincarnation. He documented 20 such cases which can never be explained other than through the same soul reincarnating and taking a new birth. He was the one who put this particular discipline of reincarnation from just discussion to and give the academic rigor. Ian Stevenson. And another example. How many of you are familiar with this? I've heard about this. Very few hands. Search Raymond R. Moody, Raymond R. Moody, comma, near-death experiences. There's a wonderful video on YouTube, very old, but very powerful. Raymond R. Moody, R-A-Y-M-O-N-D, Raymond R. Moody. He is a psychologist. So he would get patients explaining, especially during cardiac arrest, when surgery was happening, all the machines would go flat, and after a few minutes they would become alive and they would come back and then share what the doctors were discussing. Practically impossible if you just consider that there is something that can survive beyond this physical body. And he started documenting those. And in the last 40 years, a lot of research has happened in this area. Now this is an established fact that yes, there is consciousness that survives death. And the experiences are remarkably similar. You leave your body, you go through the tunnel, you go in front of a light which is all-accepting, wonderful, powerful, very beautiful, completely accepting. And when you read their experiences, when they come back, amazing. Complete transformation of their life. Because according to existing psychology, you can tinker with your personality, but you can't transform it. But these are the people, 180 degree shift. A type A personality who was so engrossed in making money, becoming famous, cutting corners, comes back with this near-death experiences, having experienced light, completely transformed. Because now the things that you give importance to in your life completely change. Love, compassion, fellow beings, how can I help? Because now they have realized this much more than just this one life. And that's where this simple principle comes. I am eternal. Makes a lot of sense. If this is only one life, I can do all sorts of nonsense and say, I can have fun. No, but that is going to come with you. That is karma. Karma and reincarnation, they go together. And it is because this particular aspect that I am a soul who will survive this body is not accepted by the so-called science. I am using my words very carefully. That's a discussion for another day. They are never able to cross that mental block. So most of the, why I call this as a framework is, almost all self-development theories, you can create all of them from these simple first principles. I should empathize with you. I should do good to you. Why should I do good to you? Just because you are there, or you are good, or you are smart, or you are beautiful? No. Because you are also a soul, I am also a soul, and what I do to you is going to come back, because there is that karma. Right? That is what is missing. Why should I empathize with you? Because you are unique, I am unique. You will not become like me, I will not become like you. So accepting that is empathy. There is nothing else. Me acknowledging your uniqueness is empathy. So I did not struggle to become empathic. It comes naturally when I bring in this awareness that I am unique, you are unique. So you see, every single theory out there can be built from these first principles. That's the power of what you learn here as a part of Raja Yoga meditation. And I have talked only about the first lesson. And I am not done yet. And I started speaking an hour and a half ago. Okay, and this is still the first lesson. Good question. Hold that question. Day after tomorrow you will get the answer. We will share with you. Because that is a part of the Raja Yoga course. And another beautiful thing is, you can tell a theory if it makes sense or not, or if there is some truth in it, by just putting it to a test. Is it logically consistent or logically inconsistent? One very good test you can put any theory to. If the principles that are taught are clashing with each other and you have to go through hoops to say something, then that theory is might not be true. But a theory that is simple, that is logically consistent, however different it might be to your conditioning, that might still be closer to truth because it's logically consistent. And that is what you will get from the 7 days Raja Yoga course. Because each one builds on top of the other. Like you asked about the 84 lakh birds. Right? 84 lakh yoni we say. Now that in one stroke it is removed, because as per Raja Yoga, each soul's sanskars are unique. We just heard that. So a human soul will have human sanskars. An animal soul will have animal sanskars. How can an animal get human sanskars? How can a dog become a better dog on its own? Think about it. Because it doesn't have that sanskar. It's only human beings who have that sanskar of wanting to become better. So according to Raja Yoga, a human soul will always take birth as a human being. Again, you can consider this as a theory. I'm absolutely okay. You want to disagree? Absolutely okay. But test it. All the principles are logically consistent or not. The simple answer is, I don't know. Because I learn more about myself and the rest of the human beings than about animals in Raja Yoga. So I've never got a chance to think about those. So let me be honest. Awareness. In my awareness, if I am weak, if I say I can't do this, that's why many a times you will learn this in the digital wellness session day after tomorrow. I call brain as a wonderful tathastu machine. If I say, I can't do this, then your brain will say tathastu. And it will send a not okay signal and your body will respond and you will not have energy also to do something. Okay, so if I believe I can do something, or if I believe that I can't do something, absolutely right. I'm a soul, I'm a point of light, and this is another beautiful thing I learnt in Brahma Kumaris. You will never get this anywhere else outside. When I start practicing that I am a point of light, one is light, the other one is sthiti. That is, my state of mind also becomes light, not heavy. And that's what we call it as double light. Sthiti means my state of mind. We say, right, I'm feeling very heavy today. Yes or no? When you are stressed, when you are thinking too much negative, when you are worried, you say, I am feeling very heavy here. Doesn't mean that you are carrying some weight, but when you smile, when you play with the kids, you know, when somebody cracks a joke, when you are happy, you feel light. That's the light I am talking about here. And the easiest way to reach that light is this light. Because this body is heavy. Yes or no? So when my consciousness is trapped in this body, like the body, my sthiti also becomes heavy. I start comparing, I start contrasting, I start fighting. But when I say that I am light, I bring in that awareness, suddenly you see all these things, they just disappear. And we talked about those principles. And that is the double light. Swaroop is light, swaroop. Okay, who I am, what I am experiencing, that is light, and my state of mind, my sthiti also becomes light. Fascinating stuff. So that's the easiest way. And this is what in Raj Yoga we call it as detach. In every meditation that you have practiced, you must have heard this, which I will also do now, where visualize yourself as a point of light separate from the body. Right? That's the beginning. So how do you want to experience this when you go back to your homes? How can you take this even in your office, in your home, wherever you are, even in your flight, in your bus? How do you practice this double light? Watch. So how do you practice this soul consciousness? So even while sitting at your desk, you see how you can experience. So when you start experiencing yourself as a being of light, automatically you will experience that relaxation. Because you will start thinking less, you will start thinking slow. Swaroop be light, or sthiti be light. So you start seeing through your mind's eye yourself as a being of light, not just this body. Okay? Now let me summarize. Can you say loud? All are self-evident. So simple. Good. Any questions? If me considering this is going to empower me, make me a better version of myself, help improve my relationships, and help make my life more happy, maybe this is true. Yes? Wonderful. So shall we sit in that practice? Couple of minutes and then we take a break. Good. And this is what promotes, this is what most of the leaders, as you said, you are looking for. And where do you get all this? From those first principles. As simple as that. state. Have your back well supported. Don't fold your arms, don't fold your legs. You can keep your eyes open and just rest your eyes on something that you are seeing in the front. Or if you want to close your eyes, that's what makes you comfortable, you can close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Breathe slowly and deeply. As you breathe in, observe the muscles of your stomach expand. As you breathe out, observe the muscles of your stomach contract. Breathe slowly and deeply. Let go of any tension in any part of your body and relax yourself. Even if your mind goes elsewhere, as a master, acknowledge the thought, ignore it, and gently bring your attention back to your breathing. As you relax, visualize a shining bright white star in the middle of your forehead. A shining bright white star spreading white rays of peace and relaxation all around you. This is me. Aham Atma, Mama Shariram. I am a soul. This is my body. I am a point of light. I am unique. I am master. I am creator. I am eternal. I am light. As these white rays of peace and relaxation, they spread to all parts of your body, through your mind's eye, you are able to see yourself as a being of light. I am peaceful. I am relaxed. And I am powerful. Gently rub your palms and wipe your eyes. I would encourage you to take your notebook, go out, choose a corner, sit down for a few minutes, review what you have written, and then by 5 to 7 come to the plaza which is just outside the room. We will do the meditation from 7 to 7:30 and then we'll go for dinner. Is that okay? Thank you.